Welcome once again to EW10's Bookmark. I'm Doug Keck, your host. Our special guest author, known to all the EW10 viewers, Bear Wozniak. This is a long ride home from his beach. A book called 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Published by our friends at Sophia Institute Press and available through our EW10 religious catalog, EW10RC.com, all things Catholic. Oh, great to see you, Bear.
Aloha, good to be back.
So how did you go from the beach to cowboys?
Well, Long Ride Home, our TV series. Bikers are a lot like cowboys. Mm-hmm. You know, they spend a lot of time in the saddle. It takes a lot of fortitude to ride the distances, and they have a lot of time to kind of contemplate and think. And there's a real brotherhood among bikers, so it wasn't a hard reach to do that. But in Hawaii, mm-hmm. we have cowboys. We have paniolos. They were the vaqueros that came from Mexico and from Spain, and Hawaiians didn't know quite how to pronounce that, right. So eventually it became paniolos. So.
Now, you mentioned in a dedication that's dedicated to your cowgirl wife, Cindy, who inspired this book when she introduced me to the song, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? And she thought that was an important topic for you to write on. Why?
Cindy's a big cheerleader for real men.
Okay.
And, we've seen just the neutering of men to some degree, and then effort to marginalize men. Men almost apologizing for their existence. Mm-hmm. But whenever we go speak, like if I'm speaking at a radio gala or something, before we can even get out of the car or to go get the books out of the trunk of the car, we will have a mm-hmm. half a dozen or more women there, and they will just say, tell the men we need for them to be men again. Stop apologizing for your existence. Even the younger women, like when we go to Theology on Tap or things mm-hmm. like that, even more so. I just spoke to, I think, 5 different universities up in Montana, mm-hmm. and we had just time with just the men, and then we had the mixed groups, and the women are just like, when I said what I just said to you, mm-hmm. they go, yeah, yeah. And then often the men, the younger men, they won't ask him out on dates, they won't ask him to marry him. So I just told them the scripture verse, when the angel spoke to Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary to you as your wife. Mm-hmm. I think that's the scripture for young men today.
Right.
To be courageous, find the right woman, but be a man. Take her out on a date, marry her, have children.
Well, it's interesting, too, because you have Bishop Larry Silver from Bishop of Honolulu, who did the foreword, talks about the fact that Jesus knew something about herding, of course, mm-hmm. as a shepherd. Yeah. And he said, very often we have a tendency to tame Jesus and to domesticate him. But he was and is wild in his pursuit of us sinners. He is zealous and will stop at nothing to bring us into his beloved flock. And in a sense, many times we've emasculated our Lord in that way too, that you're talking about from the manliness, taking that manliness aspect of him, somebody who was a carpenter who worked with their hands.
Yeah, he's not down at Starbucks reading poetry.
Right.
He's not there trying to help everybody get along. You know what? When he taught his disciples how to pray, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then he said something very dangerous, and he asks us to pray it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So to pray, he came as an invader into the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of light, the kingdom of love, and it got him crucified. Mm-hmm. He staged the fight, but it ended up. So when we pray that same very dangerous prayer, mm-hmm. it can be a danger to us. But it's also that we're to be dangerous in the spiritual world. We need to be able to stand, and we need to know how to pray and how to stand for moral teaching and how to and actually physically mm-hmm. protect our families if it comes down to it.
And when you were young, you say all my heroes were cowboys, and I think it's probably because you grew up around the same era I did, or at least coming out of the late 50s into the 60s, where mm-hmm. television was nothing but cowboy programs.
Oh man, I loved being sick because,
right.
In the afternoon, my mother would roll a little TV into my room, right. and those black and white westerns and the sound of the horses running, But really, all my heroes were cowboys, but that I hadn't met you yet, mm-hmm. So I have to defer.
Well, I was a real wrangler as a youth there. I have to admit, you mentioned my hero, Rowdy Yates, Rawhide, who was a ramrod, as I recall.
Yeah.
The guy at the end of the trip, which was the first time most of us ever became familiar with Clint Eastwood.
Right, and we remember Little Joe. He was our hero, but here's a guy that killed 18 people, got shot 63 times.
So. Michael Landon and Bonanza.
Yeah, those westerns, the cowboy heroes, lived the cardinal virtues, mm-hmm. and even at times there was scripture mentioned. So, and when I was young, the men around me seemed to be men that wanted to live up to that type of code, that code of virtue. Right.
When you talk about, because you talk about watching Roy Rogers, as I would have been, or the Lone Ranger. So when you talk about cowboys, are you talking about the way they were idealized on Saturday morning television or in the movies, or real cowboys who lived some rough and tumble lives?
Well, kind of both. You know, I love Louis L'Amour. I use a lot of his quotes, a quote I think in each chapter from the great Western novelist Louis L'Amour. But his way of depicting the cowboy, very true. You know, our good friend Father Bryce Lundgren.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a real cowboy. You know, it's hard to interview him because he hardly talks. He's so humble, right? Mm-hmm. A cowboy's a man of few words, and so when you look at it, there. I went through Google and I've read a lot of books. Mm-hmm. That there is a cowboy code. It's not written down, but I've heard Father Bryce say, here and there, that's not part of the cowboy code, or that is the cowboy code. And what they really mean is, that isn't virtue.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the thing about cowboys is they were quick at making decisions, because they knew what was right and they knew what was wrong. And they lived by a personal creed and they lived by that code. And that's a lot like the catechism that says, you know, it's easy to know the course. You don't have to be conniving and clever if you're seeking the true good and you're willing to lay your life down for it.
Well, you mentioned in the fact here in the beginning that men seemed to keep each other in line in the old days, and girls made men wait till marriage, etc.
Yeah.
We're talking about where we are today. And for the most part, moms were there in the home to raise the children. Children were not the royalty of the family or the center of the universe. But you're not necessarily saying we should go back to 1950s, right?
No, but I am saying that we need men that will, again, pursue the true good, Aquinas' definition of love, through self-donation, John Paul II, grit and grace. Women today are looking for men that will be reliable. I'm a tandem surfer, I surf with my wife, Cindy. It's my job to inspire trust in her, and then it's also my job to be sure that I protect her.
Right.
I lift her, too. You know, men are made out of mud. You know, no one wants to look at that. But I lift my wife when we tandem surf, and you see beauty, and you see power, and you see grace. But there's something beautiful about how when she trusts me, she brings out the best in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I display in her the beauty, the power and the beauty of her, too. So, yeah, we need men that women can have confidence in.
Right.
And so many of the men are just seeking pleasure. And it's not, they talk about making love, that's not love if there's no responsibility.
Lack of responsibility. Yeah,
that's not love at all.
Exactly.
You know, the Bible doesn't say God so loved the world that he felt all gushy.
Right, and you use that in the book.
Yeah.
I noticed that quote, right?
We need men, my wife tells me to share with you the Hawaiian word imua.
Mm-hmm.
It's strength, but it's strength moving forward. When the fire took place in Lahaina, everyone was wearing shirts, Maui Imua, not just to stand strong with them, but to move forward with them. And that's the force of a man taking the brunt of things sometimes in life. And that's what women want in men, and we need.
Right.
And you know, men say, oh, society's marginalized, and they make fun of us. Well, for good reason. Mm-hmm. It's our fault. We're the ones that said, well, we can take a woman to bed with us without being married.
Mm-hmm.
We can take advantage of her, really, her situation, and we don't consider love and responsibility together anymore. So why shouldn't we be made fun of?
Right.
Men need to start being lay down their lives. In Hawaii, we have the word kuleana. It means your area of stewardship, and men just step away and say, well, let the women do it.
Right.
Men need to do their part.
Interesting. Well, I'd like this line where you say, I'm not saying about going back to the 50s or going back to the future, but really you want to go back to the virtues.
Yeah, I stole that line from, I think, Peter Craig.
Okay. Well, you stole from the best.
Yeah, I love him.
And with that idea of you relate to the cowboy creed and virtues, how do you see those working together?
Well, they're the same, what they stand for. So in the rules in my book, you know, I challenge men to have a personal creed. And each man should have his own definition. You know, we're all called to love God, to serve God, to make him known. But each of us will do that in our own unique way. So to develop your own creed, like my personal creed is the most radical quest a man can pursue is to abandon himself to the wild adventure of God's will. But then from there, you need to have your rules. I'm a Benedictine oblate, too, the rules of St. Benedict. How will you then live out your life? How will you live a life of virtue in the context of your station in life, mm-hmm. and who you are, and the way God wired you. And so, when you take the time to know what your creed is and to define how will, like, open a door for a woman every time. Mm-hmm. Now in Hawaii, I don't get to because parking spots are this narrow.
Is that what it is?
but my wife does get a flower almost every day, a plumeria or a hibiscus. Mm-hmm. So know what you're, make commitments, know what you're about and keep them.
Well, you mentioned the fact that man comes hardwired with a call to virtue, to even be virtue itself, to be manly. He is born, of course, with a fallen nature, but there is a yearning in him for virtue. Why do you think that is?
Well, we're factory loaded for that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a man I know that doesn't want to be a hero. He may not be willing to do what it takes to be a hero.
Whether that's to his kids or his family or
That's exactly what I mean. Because people will go, oh, Barry, you know, you skydive, you run with the bullets, you do all these adventurous things. And I tell them, dude, the most adventurous mm-hmm. thing you can do, in my opinion, is to be a dad, to be married and be a father, to be a hero to that family. And all a hero is just a man that just does the right thing again and again. My dad used to say a professional is someone who does the right thing even when no one's looking, you know, mm-hmm. and makes it look easy. You don't go out and say, well, I did all this. Don't I get a pat on the back? No, you just do it, and you do it again the next day, and the next day you just
continue. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting. I always thought you were a nice guy, but you said when I was growing up, men did not try to be nice. So you're not nice?
Okay, I'm going to say something on EWTN. I never cussed until I had a baby and I stepped on a Lego. Mm-hmm. A good man might every now and then let a word out.
Okay.
A nice guy won't.
Okay.
But a good man, the word good means, well, Jesus said only God is good. So I don't want to be the Homer Simpson stepping back into that shrub, or Ned Flanders, the guy who never that never wants to shake things up or won't make a stand. Mm-hmm. I go back to the chapter on being dangerous. I don't want to be a nice guy. I don't want to be the guy that the devil doesn't even know exists.
What do you mean being dangerous? You don't want to be scaring people, do you?
Well, that's everybody's favorite chapter, by the way.
Right.
Well, first of all, the danger of saying thy will be done. Mm-hmm. But there's three levels to being dangerous. You know, I'm a second degree ninja black belt.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah. It's not an art, really. It's a combative, it's dangerous stuff. But I would say I'm still just a beginner, having been around the people that I've trained with, the first white ninja, Master Hayes. But danger at three levels. First of all, spiritually, can I smell a rat? Do I pray the rosary? Hmm. Do I understand when the enemy's on the prowl? And I love it, the saying that when you get up in the morning, does the devil go, oh no, he's up? Or does the devil not even care who you are? Are you a danger to the demonic kingdom where we fight against principalities and powers? And then there's the dangerous man that says, like I have many men in the man cave, you know, my man cave, that many men where they've been asked to be part of the pride committee, mm-hmm. and they'll say no. They've made a stand. They don't get fired, but they don't get promoted.
Right.
Sort of a white martyrdom. So are you the type of person when people look at you? You know, I was out golfing the other day with my son and two of his really good friends, and another young man joined us. Mm-hmm. And he spoke denigrated women. And I'm waiting for my opportunity. And then he said, he uses Jesus' name in vain. And I just pointed my putter at him, not in a threatening way, but to make a point. Jesus Christ is the only name by which men can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
That people might not think that was nice, but it made an impact on him. And I had a chance, and I'll challenge young men when they're cussing in front of ladies and stuff, and I'll say, you know, you're a better man than that. And they like being challenged like that.
Right, to be reminded. The devil desperately tries to cancel manliness because true manliness is godliness. You're going to say society has enlisted in the devil's diabolical sissifying of men, marginalization of fathers, the culture canceling of families. It takes a village to raise a child, they say. No, first and foremost, it takes a mom and a dad, a husband and a wife to raise a child.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the devastation of the American family, someone asked me, a young college student asked me that. It goes back to when contraception became more available. A Humana Vitae attacked that. Mm-hmm. When men could have sex with women without having responsibility, and now it's worse, that not just taking the women to bed, but the total attack of pornography, the men can have their gratification without even bothering with a woman. It's the whole tearing down of the fabric of our society.
Mm-hmm.
We need men who will cherish and protect and provide and procreate, you know?
You mentioned, you refer to your book in the beginning here as being like a toolbox for virtue. How do you see it that way?
Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there about self-help books for men, how to make more money, how to get more fit, how to get more women, basically greed and that sort of thing. When I was writing this book, I was also reading the three books of the Divine Comedy.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I know you referenced Dante quite a bit.
Yeah,
here,
right? I guess I was on a Dante roll.
Right, yeah, right.
But that inward, downward spiral mm-hmm. of self-help isn't going to cut it. We need to do what we do for the right reasons, mm-hmm. and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. That's why I call it grit and grace. Grit alone, you're going to fall on your own sword. But to be determined and say, Lord, you know, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Right. Put some wind in your sail.
Yeah, so you mentioned Hondo, the old John Wayne movie. You talk about being prepared to adjust your creed and your code as you grow. How so, and how have you adjusted yours?
Well, my dad used to say that you write in pencil, only God writes in ink. Mm-hmm. And we are growing. And so I would say I never really defined a creed until about 10 years ago, where I was impressed by my boyhood hero, Duke Hanamoku, who has saved many lives, Olympic gold medalist and a great surfer. Mm-hmm. His code is simple, aloha. And ha means breath, aloha means to give breath. And he did that many times, saved many people. It also means love. And he said, this is my creed. Mm-hmm. This is how I live. And it made me start thinking. And then John Wayne said those words, every man needs a creed, which is that one sentence mm-hmm. word in a code that he can live by. And so I took the time to really ponder. And I think men and women too, because men and women are reading this book together and they're doing this
right.
together. Go someplace. I like get out in the wilderness or out on the edge of the ocean, and maybe spend several days and then go down and just spend an afternoon to get down to what your one mm-hmm. or two sentences are. Because we all have our own personal mm-hmm. telos. We all have our own way God has for us. That we all have the same basic goal.
Right.
But to know how did God wire me and how am I going to live my life, and then commit to living right. by that creed.
Is that hard wiring? Is that why there's a code for cowboys and a different code for cowgirls?
That's wonderful. I'm so glad you asked
right.
me that. Yeah, absolutely. You know, my bride, Cindy, I always call her my bride because that's how my dad referred to my mom. There's such a complementarity between us. Mm-hmm. And when we and we flow together, like, I know she's going to be doing this and I'm going to be doing that. And through the day, we just kind of flow. When we tandem surf together, the man has his role and the woman has hers. My number one job is protector. Mm-hmm. We fell in love on a tandem surfboard. When she first met me, she says, oh, did you have back surgery? And I go, no. And then a couple weeks later, she said, well, you must have had back surgery. What are all these lines on your back? Well, that's from when I'm surfing with a woman in a lift and someone drops in on me. I flip, catch her, and then I jump off the back of the board. I take the hit on my shins usually, but I jump off the back of the board mm-hmm. and I'm leashed to that board. I'm getting dragged across that reef.
I see.
So there is that role on the surfboard. I'm the one connected to the board, so I'm choosing the wave. But I'm protecting her, and I know what lift will work on this wave and what lift won't. So there's definitely, you know, I was talking to Father Mitch today.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about how manliness, the word man comes from the word vir, mm-hmm. which is where you get the word virtue. And he affirmed.
Mm-hmm.
But then he talked about homo, the word for man is homo, which I believe comes from the word humus. He was trying to teach me this.
Mm-hmm.
Which means the word dirt, which Adam, that word also means
right,
soil.
Right.
So men, Eve wasn't made out of the soil, she was made out of his rib.
Right.
They're more highly distilled, but a man is made out of mud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so to be earthy and to be strong and to be grounded is part of the nature of a man.
What do you mean by the phrase, ride for the brand?
Well, I ride for EWTN, man.
Okay.
That's who I ride for. No, I think
we people, appreciate that.
But Doug, people who don't even know about EWTN, they know when the way they know you, this is a man that rides for the brand. You know, people know that I'm a Christian,
and they I see what you're saying.
They
okay.
may hate me for it, but when they're in need, they'll come and ask me to pray. You know, mm-hmm. in Montana, I used to have a cabin up by Glacier Park, and they have these logs that go straight up and then across to say this is the entry to my ranch.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the ranch and then often a brand.
Right,
and
right.
those horses are branded, the cattle are branded, but in a way, but everyone knows that cowboy rides for that brand. But a cowboy didn't just say, I'll ride for this brand. He was very careful about saying yes to ride. But once he said yes and he started taking that man's money, he was loyal to that brand.
I see.
And people need to see who we ride for.
Yeah, well,
should be obvious.
You also talk about in that section you had about make a stand, be dangerous. Just pray a dangerous prayer. What's a dangerous prayer?
You know, the most dangerous prayer is to say that that Jesus prayed a very dangerous prayer on the Mount of Olives, the same one he taught his disciples. God, if this cup pass me by, can pass me by, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Thy will be done is the dangerous prayer. And Jesus staged that fight with Satan. You know, I'm a ninja black belt. And I loved a knife fight. Usually, yeah, I make sure it's a wooden knife when we're training. But I've done this at men's conferences. I had a friend attack me with a wooden knife. Well, the good news about a knife fight is you know where the attack's going to come from. It's going to come from the knife, probably not his foot or his fist.
I see.
Also, as a ninja, you learn to stage fights. Like I might give them an opening here, so I know he's going to use the knife. It's kind of going to come here unless he's just crazy. And so you stage the fight, and then with my friend Gerard, he attacked me. I said, "No, you better go with what I'm doing, or your wrist's you're gonna end up with a broken wrist." As he attacked me, I did a wrist throw, which is hysterical, what a wrist throw can do to someone. Mm-hmm. And I took the knife and I basically, you know, did him in with his own knife, and then disarmed him. That's what Jesus did when he staged the fight with Satan. Mm-hmm. He took Satan's weapon, which is death. And we say it in Mass, die and you destroy death, rise and you restore life. But Jesus paid a price. That was a danger to him, and he knew what it was going to take. Mm-hmm. He paid a dear price. God the Father paid a dear price, too, because I think I would rather go through that than have my son go through
it. Have your son go through it.
But Jesus staged that fight. He was a dangerous man, and it was the breakthrough of God's kingdom.
In the section, Bridle Your Passion, Let Good Things Run Wild, you quote St. John Paul II, who wrote that the problem with pornography is not that it shows too much of a woman, but that it shows too little. In other words, the focus is only on her body, but not on the beauty of her soul.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to pick that out?
I know it really stood out to me when I first read it, but the bridling of a man's passion is essential in this day. The full-on attack of pornography. Men need to win that battle. The word for sin in the Greek in the Hebrew and in the Greek is a word that is an archer's term. It means to miss the mark. Well, when I'm riding my Harley down the freeway, mm-hmm. and a big old truck's coming by me, I know not to look at it. You know, I'm afraid I look over to make sure I'm safe. If I look that way, the motorcycle's going to turn that way. So these men are under full attack. They're the enemy's on attack. The only way to win that battle is, where is your focus? Where do you, when an archer aims, where does he aim? And that means more than ever, we need to wake up in the morning, pray the liturgy, mm-hmm. of the hour, read the Gospels, go to Mass, pray the Rosary. Where our focus is, it carries us. Cindy, when she's on a tandem surfing lift, she has different places her eyes need to look. And if she moves her eyes, I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, look up, or look at my shoulder, because it locks us in. So men now, they need to have that personal walk with the Lord and win that battle.
Well, in Rule 6, you say, don't be a drifter, seek God's purpose mm-hmm. for you. Is that why you need some sort of schedule or something to follow?
Well, you know, when I was a young man, when I was 19, and I talked to a lot of young men in the last 10 days, a lot of them, mm-hmm. There's a verse in Habakkuk, kind of an obscure Old Testament prophet, that just got my attention when I was about 19, and it is, my son, write this word down in words big enough so the man who's reading it can run while he's reading. Mm-hmm. And if the vision tarries, wait for it, for surely it will come. So there has to be this discernment process, you know, especially young men. You make a little decision and 40 years later, your trajectory is here instead of here. You need to really discern that, and you need to try different things and do different things. But I really encourage people. I love that. I remember when I was about 19 too. I climbed the mountain Mont des Sols in Santa Fe because I loved Jesus so much, and everyone around me said, "Well, then you need to be a priest." And I didn't want to. I wanted to be a father.
Yeah, I remember you went to a monastery, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, monastery, and then later on the seminary.
Right.
And I was on Mont des Sols, and I said, "God, what do you want? Whatever you want, I'll do. But what is it?"
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to get to that point. And then it was just like the Lord whispered, well, what is it in your heart?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? Because the Bible says, I'll give you new and right desires. So God plants these desires in us, and then he gives us those desires as we pursue them. But we need to know that God wired each of us in a special, special way,
right.
A very unique soul. and to learn, well, what, how is God leading me? Go ahead.
Right, I just wanted to get to this. When life is easy, lethargy and selfishness can creep in. It's easy to forget our memento mori code. This is the danger of a life squandered. So then how do we move on from being just adrift to blazing new trails? How do I know and pursue God's will as you're relating? But this struck me. You mentioned the fact that when I graduated from Baylor University and my new adventure in life was about to begin, my mom told me that God had given her a kind of vision for me. What was that?
She saw me opening up, a big window opening before me, and there's all these different trails and flowers, things out there. And she said, God would just say, choose any of them, mm-hmm. and whatever it is, I will bless you. In a way, that's it. You know, just start where you are and begin to move. Well, maybe that's not the career. Maybe that's not that. But God can't. I remember when we didn't have power steering in some of our cars.
Oh, absolutely.
How hard it was to turn a car when it was standing still. As you begin to move, only then can God really be a lamp to your feet, and God can guide you. So it's kind of like, begin to move and let the Lord direct your steps. And that's why, as Catholics, we know Jesus wants to ride alongside of us. He wants to be on the adventure with us. He doesn't want to just give us a map.
Speaking of ongoing adventures, another book in the works you're thinking of?
Yeah, I got a couple ideas. One is to do a man meditations based on 12 Rules for Manliness. And as you know, Cindy and I are going to go sail on our boat, Spirit of Adventure. And we're thinking about doing some things based on by the scripture verse that says those who are led by the Spirit of God are like the wind. So we're thinking about that too.
Well, if you make that happen, make sure you stop by and see us again.
Let's do it again. Imua.
Okay. Allah. Thank you very much. The one and only Bear Woznick, 12 Rules for Manliness. He should know, where have all the cowboys gone? Great question. Sophia Institute Press, available naturally through our EWTN religious catalog, EWTNRC.com. For all things Catholic, I'm Doug Keck. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.